right, let's choose joy. Come on, where are all my Jesus-loving people? Come on, where's all the Jesus-loving people in the house? Come on. Let's just give it up for Jesus one more time before we look into his word. He is good, and I promise you this, Jesus is in the house. You say, where is he? He's all around you. He's knocking on the door of your life saying, if you'll let me come in, I will absolutely revolutionize you. And in these days that we're coming up to the Easter celebration, we're going to be talking together about a central theme of Easter. And here's the theme. Your sorrow can be turned into joy because of Jesus. That's the story of Easter, that the cross, the sorrow of the cross, the pain of the cross, the passion of the cross was transformed into the joy of the open tomb. And your joy is not based on your circumstances. Your joy is based on something that is fixing to get into you. Or maybe it's already there. Maybe I shouldn't call it. Maybe I should call him. It's Jesus. Jesus is the source of incredible joy no matter what your circumstances are. Weeping, you may be in a season of sorrow today. You may be in the midst of a tough time, but let me give you some good news. As the scripture declares, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. And it's morning. Just turn to your neighbor and say, morning. Joy is coming in the morning. And we're going to open up the word, the owner's manual. Here it is, the owner's manual for life and living. We're going to open it up to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look at the story in a portion of Paul's life when everything looked like it was going wrong. In fact, he writes this letter to us from prison. He's in jail. And he's there because of trumped up charges. He's there because he simply was going around talking about Jesus. And somebody wanted him to stop talking about Jesus. You know who that is? That's the booger man. He's got a lot of names. He's a booger man. He's the same one that wants you not to talk about Jesus. He'll do everything to try to oppose. He doesn't want you to give out those cards. If you don't give out those cards, you're lined up with the booger man. Ooh, I'm preaching already. I'm hardly getting started here. He wants to silence the good news that Jesus Christ will change your life completely. And so he tried to shut Paul up by putting him in jail. And he's there simply because he was telling people about Jesus. And anyone that's been to jail, visited jail, knows that jail can be a depressing place. Jail is really not a center of joy, except for Paul. Paul was in jail and he had joy. He had incredible joy. And if Paul can have joy in jail, could you have some joy in the circumstance you find yourself in today? Sure you can. In fact, in the opening words, he just says this. He says, hey, I'm in jail, I'm in prison, but listen, I'm still going to rejoice. Verse 18, I'm going to rejoice. I'm in jail, but I'm rejoicing. That's the verb. Rejoice is the verb tense. The verb form of joy. Joy is an action word. The word joy or rejoice is in the book of Philippians. It's a short little book, 15 or 16 times. 15 times explicitly, the noun form for joy, and then the verb form is to rejoice. So when he's saying, I'm rejoicing, I'm not just sitting there going, I got joy. He's doing something. And then he multiplies it. Joy times joy. This is what some of you need. Just looking at you, I can tell that. You're not even in jail. He said, I'm going to multiply my joy times my joy. I rejoice. Yes. Yes. I'm going to continue to rejoice. Joy times joy. He says it again in a love this verse in chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord sometime. Rejoice in the Lord except when you're in church. Rejoice in the Lord. Give it to me. Always. Even when you are in a tough time, even when sorrow is trying to sneak into your soul, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he doubles down on it. He multiplies it. And again, I say, just in case you didn't get it the first time. I can just see him writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's in jail. He can hear the clank of the metal because he's chained to a guard. And he goes, rejoice in the Lord always. Then it hits him. And again, I say, rejoice. Joy times joy equals what the Bible calls inexpressible joy. Joy unspeakable. You got any of that? When's the last time you had inexpressible joy? So much joy, you couldn't get it all out. Paul was experiencing that while he was in jail. In fact, some have called the book of Philippians the gospel of joy, written from jail. And if, again, I'll say it, if Paul could have joy in jail, no matter what's going on in your life, you can have inexpressible joy today. Always, really. Now, we do have tough seasons. We go through things. But God wants us to go through them. And if you find yourself in a valley of weeping, a season of sorrow, know this today. The sorrow of the cross is replaced with the joy of the open tomb. And in this passage of Scripture, in the first chapter, we find four principles, four elements that I want to talk to you briefly about, that if you will line up with the Word on these things, it will change your life and bring, you could walk out of here today with more joy than you brought in. I can tell you're excited about that. I can just see it. Y'all can just see it. You could walk out with more joy than you brought in. Some of you came in with joy, but we're going to double down on joy. We're not just going to rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it to you again. I say rejoice. You're going to take the joy you brought in, and you're going to multiply it and walk out with exceeding great, inexpressible, unspeakable joy. But you say, but Scott, I'm going through a tough time. Are you in jail? Paul had this in jail. Now here's the secrets from the owner's manual, the book of blessing. First secret, first principle, first element of joy I want to talk about is that joy comes from holding the right perspectives on your life circumstance. The right point of view. I could say this. Inexpressible sorrow comes from holding incorrect perspectives on life. If there was anyone that had a reason to complain and be down, it was Paul. He had done no wrong. He had been in jail for years. This is the last letter he writes to us of all Paul's writing. This is the last one. He's been in jail for years. He's been shuffled from jail to jail to jail. He's now in the elite jail, in Nero's jail, and he's on death row, awaiting possible execution. And here's what he writes. Here's his perspective on his time in jail. Now, verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that all of this has happened. All this jail time, all this beatings, all of this has happened to me, and it actually has served to advance the gospel. That's his perspective. I've been through some sorrowful times, but I am not singing the blues. He could have. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. No. All of this happened. Here's my perspective. My perspective is all this, God is doing good stuff. Here's a great question. If you're in a season of sorrow, if you're in a tough time, just ask yourself this question. How is God going to use this for my good and his glory? And he's going to. He can do it. No matter what you're going through, my beloved bride, Darla, knows what it's like to go through depression. And God has used that deep, dark experience so she can minister and bring a message of hope to people who are going through depression and say, you don't have to stay there. God has a way out from that place. We have people sitting around this room that can help people who are struggling with life addictions, life-controlling problems, because they used to have them, but they don't have them anymore. And the test that they've passed through has been turned into a testimony, and today they say, I'm free, and you can be free. I can tell you, you don't have to be religious and be sorrowful, because I was there. I want you to know you can have a relationship with Jesus and find joy. What's your test? What's the story of your life? God will not waste one bad thing you've been through. And Paul points out in this first chapter a few good things that came out of his time in prison. He writes and he says in verse 13, something has been clear, made clear to the whole palace. He's in the prison that's connected to the palace, and something has happened in the palace because I'm in prison. Wow. Watch this. Paul was influencing the palace from prison. Now, if he was singing the blues, he wouldn't have been influencing the palace. But he was rejoicing in the Lord always, and again, he was rejoicing. The whole palace guard that he was chained to, or I should say they were chained to him, you hear what I just said? Some of you will catch that. It'll bless you. Everyone here knows that I'm in chains for Christ. He was chained to the Praetorian Guard. This was the elite. They were handpicked by the Caesar. Nero picked these guys. They were some of the top paid people in the empire. They served for 12 years only, and after 12 years, they retired and had influence in the empire. The Praetorian Guard were community leaders. And every day, they were chained to Paul. Paul didn't view that he was chained to them. They were chained to him. And you know what was going on? Paul wakes up in the morning, sees a new guard, chained him. Hey, how are you? Did you ever hear about Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus died on a cross to take away all your sin, all your shame, all your guilt. Yeah, he did. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days after being in the tomb, he came out. I know that because I met him on the road to Damascus. I used to murder Christians, and now I am one. And you should be one too. Now, how could that guard get away from him? Could he say, I don't like your witnessing to me, I'm leaving? No. He was chained to Paul. Paul could preach to him all day, all night. In fact, history tells us that the influence of the Praetorian Guard started to seep up into the palace. Nero's mother became a follower of Jesus. Nero's wife became a follower of Jesus. Nero's children became followers of Jesus. How did they hear? Because the Praetorian Guard came out. We got this crazy man down there. First of all, he's joyful. Every morning he gets up, he's in a good mood. He says, good Lord, it's morning. Praise God. A new guard. Good to see you. What's your name? You heard about Jesus? I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You don't want to hear about him? It's okay. We're going to be spending a long time together, you and me today. His perspective was, and get this, my problem is not my problem. My problem is a possibility. That's his perspective. I'm not chained to you. You're chained to me. Some of you are in a tough place right now. Not so that it can influence you. Come on. So that you can influence it. He says, all the palace has been affected by me being down here. Then he says, it also has been an encouragement to other believers. Watch this. He also said in verse 14, something else good that's happened while he's been in prison. Because of my chains, most, not all, but most of the brothers and sisters, other fellow followers of Jesus, have become confident. They've got a new boldness. And they're going around declaring the Lord without fear because they're watching me in prison and I'm rejoicing in the Lord always and it's inspiring them. When you go through tough times, people are watching you. And people that are far away from God, when they watch you go through tough times with joy, they are inspired. They go, what do you have? What do you got? And you tell them, do you hear about Jesus? And other believers that watch you go through, other followers of Christ that watch you go through tough times, and when you go through it with joy, it gives a confidence and a boldness to them. If they can be joyful in the midst of jail, certainly I can be joyful outside. If they can talk about Jesus in the midst of their sorrow, certainly I can talk about Jesus where I'm at in my workplace. Your perspective changes everything. Got it? Way back, you got it back there? Just give me a witness back there, just making sure. Your perspective, the way you look, how are you looking at what you're going through? The second, and I'll just throw this in, I don't have time to just, you read Romans 8:28, just read it on your own time. Just read it, it's good. That's a good verse. I don't have time for it because I'm moving on here. Romans 8:28, just read it. Okay, let's move to the second thing. It's on your own time. In my time, we're going to talk about this. Joy is Christ-centered. I'll just give you some other verses to read on your own time. Because in this church, you got to be engaged to grow. I don't do everything for you around here. You know that? So when you go back today, read verse 14, no, 15. You could read 14, but 15 and 16. And what you're going to find in those verses is while Paul was in prison, some other ministers that were out and about were criticizing him. They were jealous of him. They were envious of him. And while he was stuck in prison, they were going about to the very churches that Paul started, and they were bad-mouthing him. And there's nothing that takes our joy like people criticizing us. Come on, somebody. You can even come into church today. You can have 9 people tell you something great about you. Hey, you're looking good today. Hey, did you lose weight since last week? You could have 10 people say nice things. One person says an ugly thing to you, and that's what you're thinking about. I can't worship today because that person, they said something ugly to me. That I can't, why, they were in my seat. And no, they weren't. I remind you, all the seats here belong to Jesus. They're all Jesus seats. They're not your seats. I remind you about that. If someone ever says that's my seat, say, no, the pastor told me it's Jesus' seat. And Jesus told me to sit here today. Just tell them. And if they glare at you, say, praise the Lord. I'm all rejoicing in the Lord always. Pastor also told me to do that. Your criticism is not getting to you. You got to decide this. Don't let people's criticism get to you. Because Paul didn't. Look what Paul says. While they're criticizing me, what does it matter? He says the important thing is, because these fellow ministers are going around talking about Jesus and criticizing Paul, he didn't care about them criticizing him. The important thing is that Christ is being preached. I'm just glad that Jesus is being talked about. And because of that, I'm going to rejoice. Time's rejoicing. I'm going to rejoice. Yes, I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to let other people's criticism rob my joy. You carrying on with whatever you're doing isn't going to affect my joy. You know, in church, some churches, not this one, but other churches, sometimes people are critical. Yeah, you know, because like worship changes. Like, I've been pastoring this church now 2 decades, 20 years. I'm going to tell you, in 2 decades, worship has changed. Have anybody been around? Some of you have been around for 20 years with me. It's different. And don't we do some things different? Sure we do. Some things are different. Now, you can criticize it, but I'm going to tell you, if you run with the critical crowd, you'll have less joy. I'm just glad that Christ is being lifted up, that Christ is being talked about. That's what I'm glad about. I'm glad that people are making commitments to Christ. I'm glad that we're baptizing people. That's what I'm glad about. Listen, sometimes I come and it's not my cup of tea. And I'm the pastor. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to center on Christ. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. I'm going to worship you, God. I don't even know this song. I have the words. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening right now. But I'm going to worship you. I'm going to stay Christ-centered. Because Christ-centered brings joy. And other churches, we're not against other churches in this area. We love them. I'm friends with pastors. When they have a success, I go, wow, that's awesome. When people come to Christ in their churches, I go, all heaven rejoices. I should be part of that. We're not about, we love this church. I love this church. I love you guys. But I love the church of Jesus. And that's how Paul thought. And because he was concerned about the, you want, if you want to be negative, if you want to lose joy, be self-centered. And when you're injured by other people's criticism, that's because you're thinking about yourself. But if you want to have joy, be with Paul on this one. Be Christ-centered. Being Christ-centered brings incredible joy. Got it? Number one, you got to have the right perspective. Number two, I just talked about it. What was it? Christ-centered. Number three, know this. To live a joyful life, especially in the midst of sorrow, you need help. You need support. You're not supposed to do it alone. You're not even supposed to try to do it alone. God put you on the planet, and he connected you with community, and you need community to live a joyful life. On the very days that you feel like not coming, they're the ones you really need to come. Some of you are here today, and you're here. You didn't want to come today, but here you are. You're in a good place. Some of you have felt like throwing in the towel on your marriage, on your business, on your dreams, on your education, but you're surrounded by people now who are ready to pray with you and pray for you that you're going to make it through another week, and you need them. And while, watch this, while Paul was physically separated from people in prison, you can never separate someone spiritually from the influence of your life. So we can minister. This church actually goes into a prison, and they play these messages. And we can't go there physically, but we can pray for those guys spiritually. We can do that. And here's where Paul says, hey, I'm so glad that for the help that I've received. And he mentions two big sources of help that he needed to sustain his joy, and you need them to sustain your joy. He says, yes, I'm going to continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, hey, the Philippians were praying for him. People here want to pray for you. When you're going through a tough time, you need prayer. We're going to have some prayer ministers in this church in a few minutes, and they're going to pray for you. And here's the saddest thing. It's sad when people come in, they have a great need, they don't receive prayer, and they walk out, and prayer has been available to them. You don't have to belong to this church to receive prayer. You don't have to be a member. You don't even have to be doing really well. In fact, we really like to pray for you when you're not doing well. You don't have to be good enough to receive prayer. Well, I was out last night, Pastor. I don't know if I can receive. Yes, now you need to receive prayer. You were out last night. Come on, somebody. So I receive strength from prayer and from God. I love this. From God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus. He just knew this. I may be in prison with the Praetorian Guard, But I'm also here with Jesus. And he's given me strength. And he's given me hope. You're praying for me. Thank you. You're praying for me. And Jesus is with me. And that gave him great hope. He goes on, he says, listen, it's all going to work out okay. It's going to work out for my deliverance, for I eagerly expect and I hope. Circle that word. Taking some notes, and you should be taking notes on this message because I'm preaching good today. This is a good one, I'm telling you. I had somebody go out last night and say, that's the best message of all time. Well, it was good for her. She needed it. You know why she needed it? Okay, I don't have time to tell you why she needed it. Okay, let me get back to hope. Cornell University did a study of 25,000, big study, 25,000 prisoners of war from World War II, WW2. And they discovered that people can go through immense pain, immense pressure, and incredible problems as long as they still have hope. But when you lose hope, your world caves in. And where did Paul's hope come from? Come on, I'm going to read you a scripture right here. Let's read this one out loud. I want you to get this one. Okay, everyone, read. So the person in front of you needs to hear you preach this. They want to hear your voice. They may want, give them a little moisture as well. Make it real good. Project your voice. Like you guys in the spray zone, you know what that's all about up here. You know that. Here, let's read this out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody, come on. Yes, as we said, he's in jail. The Spirit of Jesus is with me. I'm going to say one more thing and then we're going to pray. I'm enjoying this. I'm getting more joyful. The more I preach this, the more joyful I'm getting. By next service, I may just levitate while I'm preaching. You may want to come back for that one. I may just ascend. Okay, number four, watch. And joy always looks forward. Not backwards, not on yesterday's pain, not on last night. I thought that person would give me an amen that was out last night. I thought you would, but not last night. Joy always looks forward. They had taken away everything from Paul. They had taken away his ability to travel and minister. They had taken away his freedom. They'd taken away any financial support. They had taken away everything but his forward-looking faith. And he gives us a verse from the first chapter as he's writing to these people, and it's an amazing verse. You do not want to miss it. I'm sorry you're going to miss it, but you don't want to miss it. Sorry you're going to miss it. Listen on the way out. You can get this one. Here we go. Here we go. Ready? I know I had too much coffee this morning. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Okay, here it is. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what he was saying? Every day for Paul while he was in jail was a Jesus day. Every day he was alive, it was a Jesus day. He'd wake up in the morning, he'd see that new guard. He said, hey, today is a Jesus day. For me to live is Christ. They have taken away everything from me, but they haven't taken away today, and they haven't taken away my faith. I'm going to share it with you. Today, when you are going through suffering, when you're going through a valley, when you're going through tough times, just make this declaration. Today is a Jesus day. Today, for me to live is Christ. I don't know about yesterday. Yesterday may have not been so much a Jesus day, but today is a Jesus day. Your joy that you have or don't have is contingent on this phrase. How do you fill it in? For you to live is what? What would you say? Like some people would say, for me to live is possessions, stuff. I want to get more stuff. Some people say, I want to live for pleasure. I work all week so I can party on the weekends. I live for pleasure. Some live for prestige. They're always trying to climb the ladder so that they can. They're like little kids. Remember when you were little kids? You go, look at me. They're like adults, but they're like, hey, look at me. Look at the car I have. Look at this street I live on. Look at me. Look at the title I have. But here's the problem. with living for possessions or living for pleasure or living for prestige. Get this. They don't last. So they give you a temporary happiness, but not real joy. Paul was tapped into something that gave him eternal joy. That's why he can say this. Hey, for me to live every day is a Jesus day, and if I die, I upgrade. Because he was living his life for something eternal. See, when you live for pleasure and you live for possessions and you live for prestige, all that fades away. When we get to eternity, there's no cars that you take with you. You are not taking your house with you. It's not going. Your title will not mean much in heaven. But Paul had anchored into something that was eternal, and he says, when I die, I'm living for heaven. I'm looking so forward to heaven that it gives me joy today. And that's what heaven does. A heavenly thought gives you, you're in the middle of suffering. You're in the middle of a tough time. Things are stressed in your marriage. Things are stressed in your business. It's not always going to be like that. Look forward. Start investing your life in things that will last for the next 100 years. The next 500 years. The next 10,000 years. That's what Paul was doing. He was investing in eternity. He was looking long term. And his long term plan gave him joy today. I love this, and I'm going to close. I never say that, but I'm going to. I never say that, but I'm going to. But it's a new day today. Get this, brothers and sisters, forget. Forget. Last week, forget it. Last night, forget it. Forget what it, this last season, the sorrowful season, forget it. And strain towards what is ahead. Press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called us. What's that word? Heavenward. Heavenward. In Christ Jesus. And those people that have the right perspective, that are centered on Christ, that are looking forward, those people experience incredible joy. And that's joy times joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's close our eyes. Let's open our hearts wide to the presence of Jesus. And I want to make an invitation that you would open your heart to the presence of Jesus that is in this room right now. You don't have to be good enough to open your heart. He's already good enough to come into your heart. Some of you have been far away from God. And today's a day for you to have a fresh start, a new beginning, to open your life to the person of Jesus. And I want to lead in a prayer. And I want those that are saying, Scott, I don't want to walk far away from Jesus. I want to walk with him. I want him to lead me and guide me. I want him to be my Savior and my Lord. I want to be closer to Jesus than I've ever been before. Scott, I've been living far away from God. I've been far from the Father's house. But I don't want that today. I want to come home. I want to be in God's family. I want to live in the community that will really help me. And you say, Scott, would you pray? And I want to pray for people. I want to pray for you. And you say, I want to be included in that prayer. I'm going to ask you to do two things. One is to put your hand up high enough for me to see it, and then lift your eyes until we make eye contact, because you matter to God and you matter to me. You matter to this church, really. And you put up high. Way at the back, buddy. Come on, put way out. I see it. Man, you got both hands up. You're serious, man. Hallelujah. All right. Right here. I see you right here. God bless you. Hold it up till we see each other. Hold it up till we see each other. Everybody over in this section here? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want you to pray with me. That's right here. God bless you. Glad you're here. Fresh start. New beginning. Come into the family like with a renewed heart. Right here. God bless. Glad you're here. God knows what that means too. That's between you and God, but he knows. fresh start, new beginning. Right here, God bless you, man. Hallelujah. You got a big long arm. Amen. You got that all the way up, man. That's good. Amen. Let's go way back in the back. I see you, pal. You're stretching right up there, man. You mean business with Jesus. Hallelujah. So we say, somebody should say hallelujah while I'm doing this. Right here. God bless you guys. Right here. God bless you. I don't want to miss anybody on this section. You guys need to bring more friends to church. This section here needs to bring more friends to church that need Jesus. This section, right? Bring your friends. And I thank you. Thank you. I saw you guys. We saw you. Thank you for bringing your friends to church so they can open their hearts to a fresh start with Jesus. We're all going to stand. We're all going to pray. We're going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask every single person to pray. Every single person to pray out loud with our friends that are opening their hearts in a new way to the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Here's a prayer that will change your life. Everyone together, say it. Dear Heavenly Father, I open my life to Jesus Christ. Come into my heart. Change me. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them. Today is a new start. A fresh start, a new beginning. I am a new creation in Christ. I receive your forgiveness. I forgive your love. I receive your love. I receive your mercy. Thank you, God, for loving me and never giving up on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's good. That's good prayer. Amen. That's good. Praise God. So, these next few moments, listen. Our prayer team is here to pray with people who are open their hearts to Christ or for whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you. In a moment, I'm going to pray a blessing. And as I pray the blessing, you should all be praying this. Receive the blessing and say, Lord, what do I need today? And when the Holy Spirit gives it to you, you should receive prayer. That's how Paul received joy. He received prayer. And our team is here to pray with you and for you. That's why they're standing here, to pray with you. While they're praying for people, there will be communion tables, and we welcome you to come to receive the bread and the cup of the Lord and think about what Jesus did on the cross for you. He took away all your sin, all your shame, all your guilt, went into the tomb, rose from the dead the third day, and while we take communion, you're thinking about that. So I'm going to pray a blessing. After the blessing, there's no other benediction. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. Come next week. I won't be as wild. Or maybe more wild. Who knows? I may ascend in the next service, so you may not see me. You may go straight to heaven. I don't know. But if you've been a guest here today, we love you. We know that God has a plan for your life, and we want to see it maximized. We want to see you live a life of joy times joy, inexpressible joy. I'm still getting there. I'm going to tell you, I'm still getting there. Paul had something. I don't have the depths of this, but I'm pressing for it, man. I'm going in for it. And if you've been a guest here, we just want to know you a little bit. And stop by our hospitality room, please. It's on the left-hand side over here. We want to give you some gifts and just love you. Just glad you're here. And I'm going to pray a blessing now. So let's all close our eyes. Everyone asking the Holy Spirit right now, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me? What do I need? And every need, He has a supply. Every problem, He's got a purpose. So I pray the Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I pray in the name of Jesus that your heart will find joy times joy. Stop listening to the critics. Tap into Christ. He's going to see you through. I bless you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, you are very, 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 very blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Hey, come forward. Come forward for prayer, please. Come forward for communion, and the blessing of the Lord be with you.